Amen. Amen. Let's go to John 3:16. Let's read verses 16 and 17. I'm in the King James tonight for this verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Now let's go to Luke 6. You know where we're going. And you know what I'm going to get. For me, this is one of those passages I read over and over and over and over. Jesus speaking to his disciples. This is the New International Version. He said to them, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? For as everyone who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice, I will show you what they are like. They are like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock." You know, another reason that you have to dig down deep, and it's something that I find out all too often about me, is that there's stuff in there that you don't know, or you may have forgotten about. But see, one of the things, when you're digging, sometimes things get loose and, you know, it may drop down a little deeper and you think, okay, I don't see it, it's okay. No, it's in there. And situations will happen that cause it to come more to the surface. And when that happens, you gotta get your shovel and you gotta dig it out. It's okay that you didn't know it was there or forgot it was there. That's okay. When it tries to rear its ugly head, dig it out. Amen. Tell your neighbor, say, just dig it out. Okay. When a flood came, the torrent struck that house, but could not shake it because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed, and its destruction was complete. See, we need to understand that the enemy wants us to be like that. He wants us to be at a place where the moment he shows up, we just go to pieces. And then our destruction would be complete. But we're too smart for him. We're realizing, well, I'd say that we're getting much, much better at recognizing him, no matter how he shows up. And that's a good thing. That's a very good thing. Now, look at Mark 11:23, would you please? Says, Jesus said, "For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt where in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, what'll happen? He shall have whatsoever he saith." Well, see, if we believe that, or since we believe that scripture to be true, we have an awesome responsibility. We have to be very mindful about what we say about anything. Since we're people of faith, what we say should always be based on what God said.
That's right.
I mean, that's just the way it is. And I have to tell you, everything I say is not always based on what God says. Sometimes it's based on something else. Okay. But the scripture tells us that we're to walk by faith and not by sight. Another scripture tells us that we're just and we should live by faith. And if since those two scriptures are true, I believe it's accurate to say that God's expectation is that we speak by faith. And we don't speak according to what we see or what we are experiencing. See, even though we know God said it, we allow ourselves to get emotional. And we'll get worked up to the place that sometimes we will release words out of frustration. We will release words out of anger. We'll release words out of jealousy. We'll release words for a variety of reasons other than this is what God is telling me to speak in this situation. And we have to be mindful of that because we will have what we say. If a person is acting ugly and you tell them, you're just acting ugly. You're condemning him. Because you're going to have what you say. So as far as you're concerned, they're never going to change. Because we keep calling things that are the way they are. And that's not what the scripture tells us to do. See, we need to understand that there are inappropriate words that we speak. And they're not consistent with who we say we are as believers. How many of you have ever went to a farm or an orchard and you saw a tree, and on that tree was growing apples and oranges, you know, and pears and cherries and all this different fruit on coming out of one tree? Anyone ever seen anything like that? No, I mean, with the way that they're splicing genes and making these different animals, you may. Okay. I mean, I was looking and I saw where they splice together a lion and a tiger, and they call it a liger. Huge animal. Huge. They splice together the lion and the leopard. And I'm looking at that, and I'm like, your tax dollars at work. You know, creating these animals that grow bigger than normal. You have no idea what their characteristics are going to be, but you created it. Well, it's the same thing when we as new creatures in Christ Jesus start releasing reckless words. We have no idea of the mess that we could be creating when we release them. So we have to corral it. We have to get a handle on our mouths. Just because someone keeps picking at you and annoying you, you know, you get to the point that you wish they don't exist. And you tell them. You tell them, you make me sick. You do. And don't get upset and say to someone, you know, drop dead. And you say, no, I didn't really mean that. But you said it, and the moment while you were saying it and allowing it to come out of your mouth, you meant it. You meant it, even if it was for that split second. And your words are they're not going to say, I know he didn't really mean that. I know. Let me just fall to the ground right now. Because if he wasn't angry, he wouldn't have said that. No, if we release them into the atmosphere, they're out there. They're out there. And then we have to release some different words to counteract them. You know, I know we sometimes say we speak crop failure on those words. I don't know if that works or not, but at least that's acknowledging that you know they shouldn't be out there. You know, but we're better off if we don't let them get out there in the first place. You know, some I try hard. I'm not always successful. Sometimes I've told you this before, I bite the inside of my cheek, sometimes to the point where it bleeds, because it's something that I want to say, and I know it's not right, but saying it will make me feel better. But saying it will make the situation worse. And so, knowing that, why would I choose to release ungodly words that's not going to help anything? It's better to remain silent and think about spiritual things. Because if you're thinking about that circumstance, you're going to build up that pressure even more. And, you know, there's only but so much before I bite a hole in my cheek. You know, so, you know, the best thing that we can do is when we find ourselves, and we know, everybody knows when their quote unquote temperature is beginning to rise. It doesn't happen by accident. We know. That's the time to do something about it. That's the time to speak to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart to the Lord. Not, I can't wait until we get outside and I see them. No, we can't do that. We have to start speaking blessings upon them. Start rebuking the devil for trying to come in and cause division and confusion and just make a mess rather than feed it with your words. Look at Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, drop down to verse 29. Are you there? Let's read verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Now, that's not just talking about profanity when it says corrupt communications. Any words that are not filled with the God kind of faith are corrupt, because they don't edify. See, you know what I did? I looked up the word corrupt. And I looked it up in the concordance, and I looked up in the dictionary. The concordance said corrupt means rotten and putrefied, no longer fit for use, worn out, of poor quality, bad and worthless. The dictionary says corrupt means lacking integrity, crooked. Or some say, remember that, Pastor Ed? We had that discussion whether it was crooked or crooked. We were driving one day with Pastor Sarah, and there was this road, Crooked Hill Road. She said, "No, it's Crooked Hill Road." I'm like, "No, it's crooked." And that went on. We said, "You don't say booked, you say booked." You know. But it means debased in character, depraved, perverted, wicked, evil, made inferior by errors or alterations. It means infected, tainted, or decayed. See, when God is letting us know that when we release words that are not in line with His words, we're releasing worthlessness, we're releasing inferior quality, we're releasing rottenness, depravity, evil, error, we're releasing all of those things out into the atmosphere. Now, we were put here to do the same thing Adam was charged with, to keep this garden called Earth. Why would we want to release all of that stuff into the atmosphere? because someone said something we didn't like or didn't appreciate, or because we were just kidding around. Either way, we're releasing corrupt communication, and we have to be mindful of it because of who we say we are and who we represent. Look at James 3. Later on, I'm going to read part of this in a few different translations, but in the Message Bible, this is subtitled, When You Open Your Mouth. Okay. So don't be in a rush to become a teacher, my friends. Teaching is highly responsible work. Teachers are held to the strictest standards, and none of us is perfectly qualified. We get it wrong nearly every time we open our mouths. If you could find someone whose speech was perfectly true, you'd have a perfect person in perfect control of their lives. A bit in the mouth of a horse controls the whole horse. A small rudder on a huge ship in the hands of a skilled captain sets a course in the face of the strongest winds. A word coming out of your mouth may seem of no account, but it can accomplish nearly anything or destroy it. It only takes a spark to set off a forest fire. Listen to this. A careless or wrongly placed word out of your mouth can do that. Can cause a fire to just erupt and burn out of control. By our speech, we can ruin the world, turn harmony into chaos, throw mud on a reputation, send the whole world up in smoke and go up in smoke with it, smoke right from the pit of hell. Just reckless words. This is scary. You can tame a tiger, but you can't tame a tongue. It's never been done. The tongue runs wild, a wanton killer. With our tongues, we bless God our Father, and with the same tongues, we curse the very men and women He made in His image. Curses and blessings out of the same mouth. My friends, this can't go on. A spring doesn't gush fresh water one day and brackish the next, does it? Apple trees don't bear strawberries, do they? Raspberry bushes don't bear apples, do they? You're not going to dip into a polluted mud hole and get a cup of clear, cool water, are you? See, the words that we release, we need to understand this, they're not only mirrors of what's in our heart, but they identify the essence of who we are. Since we are believers, everyone that knows that has a right to expect that when they encounter us, we are only going to say things that edify them, that build them up, that cause them to feel good. I mean, you can correct someone and they can feel good about it. You don't have to correct someone and make them feel like they're not worth a plug nickel. But when they're going to listen to the words that we say, and they're going to know who we really are. Because the words are coming out of our heart. The Bible says, out of the abundance of your heart. So the question that we all have to ask ourselves, why are we thinking about them? Because before it got to our heart, we had to be meditating on them. Sometimes, has anyone other than me ever gotten upset and sat down and rehearsed what you were going to say to someone when you saw them? Thank you. We got two on. Okay, there's three. Okay, good. So, all right. Okay. All right. I mean, even anticipating their comment, and when they say this, I'm going to tell them that. You know, and you're going to save it up, and then all of a sudden, you're going to say, and then finally, if they want to go there, I got this waiting for them over here. Okay? and feel good about ourselves. Planning to chop someone into pieces, cut them up. Why? Because we don't like what they did or said? Can you imagine what we would be like if that's what God did to us? I mean, we think about it. See, when we release reckless words like, I'm broke, I'm sick, I'm ugly, I don't know what to do, I'm all by myself, nobody cares about me, you know, I just can't do it. I can't. No, I don't forgive you. You have the nerve to ask me to forgive you after what you did? No. We're releasing corrupt communication. But also, I got to read this. When you consider the definition I gave you for corrupt, when we say those things, we're saying that God's word lacks integrity. We're saying that God's word is inferior. It's tainted. It's no longer fit for use. So we have to use different words. You think about that. We're choosing to speak corrupt words instead of God's words. We do that because we think the words we choose to use are more appropriate. God's too lovey-dovey. I mean, that's... Am I telling the truth? I mean, folks, we got to dig down and get this stuff out of us because it's in there. We fail to realize that it's when we release God's word out of our mouths, that's when we're really telling it like it is. See, we say those things. We say, yeah, they did it, and I'm just going to tell it like it is. Well, Father said, call those things that don't exist as though they do exist. So if when we say that, we're calling it like it is. Because we're talking his word. We're calling those things that be not as though they were. He looked up and said, I'm so glad to see you. So, you're my brother in Christ. You're my sister in the Lord. How are you? You know, I wasn't comfortable with the way our last conversation ended. I apologize if I said anything to offend you. And you're saying, what? Wait a minute. I didn't say anything to offend. No, you're a purveyor of peace. So obviously, whether we meant it or not, something we said caused a response. So we go and we diffuse so that we can build up. See, it's easier to put out a fuse than to rebuild a building after it's been blown up. You need to think about that. Okay? See, when we speak words without doubt in our heart, we'll have what we say. Period. Remember what we read in James? A word out of your mouth may seem of no account, but it can accomplish nearly anything or destroy it. It only takes a spark to set off a forest fire. A careless or wrongly placed word out of your mouth can do that. By our speech, we can ruin the world, turn harmony into chaos, throw mud on a reputation. You can put in parentheses for there, that's gossip. Send the whole world up in smoke and go up in smoke with it. Smoke right from the pit of hell. Folks, we have to be more responsible with our words. We have to be. I was there when the prophecy went forth to Pastor Sarah, that God was turning up the anointing on her words. And she had to be mindful of every word that she speaks, even in jest. Even in jest. And we need to understand that when we speak word, that folks, they're not going to just fall to the ground by themselves. When we speak them, there's a purpose attached to them. And they're going to try and fulfill their purpose. So that's why we need to think about what we say. That's why the Bible says, be slow to speak. Why? You need to think about what you're going to allow to come out of your mouth. We have to think about, well, let me, why do I want to say this? That sounds like a lot of work to me. Rebuilding is more. It's better to not tear down than to tear down and have to rebuild. Just keep the structure intact. See, it may seem like it's no big deal, but spiritually it is, because we're putting principles into operation. See, now, we know what reckless words do, but now faith-filled words can rebuild. Faith-filled words can stop something that was designated by the enemy for destruction. Faith-filled words restore. Faith-filled words bring value. Now, I don't care what we're going through, that sounds much better to me. To use faith-filled words responsibly, or I should say responsible words, instead of speaking recklessly. See, Pastor Sari said that, you know, our future is not in God's hands, it's in our mouth. See, we know God has us in the palm of his hand. But if we want what he wants, we're going to have to say what he says. Right there in the palm of his hand doesn't mean we're going to have it if we're not saying what we should be saying. See, when God told Abraham to sacrifice Isaac, he could have copped an attitude. Remember how many years he had to wait for Isaac? But he didn't. He told the servants, the lad and I are going to go and worship, and then we are going to come back. He didn't say, then I'm going to have to come back by myself and figure out how to explain to Sarah why I had to kill Isaac. No, he said, we're going to go and then we're going to come back. And they're walking along and Isaac is like, I see the rope, I see Dad, I see everything except the sacrifice. And he didn't say, don't worry about it. He said, God will provide. That's what he said. And what did God do? He provided. He provided. When the centurion's servant was sick, he told Jesus, no, speak the word only. Can you imagine if Jesus said he's going to die? No, Jesus, he spoke faith-filled, responsible words, and the servant lived. I mean, I think about Samson. I know they're going to be showing that presentation at Sight and Sound next year. I'm wondering how they're going to do it. But he's one of my favorite studies, Samson. But think about why he died, why he lost his life. He was angry because he was humiliated. He was beaten. First of all, he was deceived by the love of his life. Okay. Or one of them. All right. He was captured by his arch enemies. They put out his eyes, smacked him around, tortured him, and making fun of him. The mighty Samson. He's thinking, I want my revenge. He said, Father, give me strength to avenge my eyes and let me die with my enemies. He didn't say, Father, give me strength, restore my sight so I can live to continue to do exploits for you. He said, so I can die with my enemies. He had what he said. He had what he said. He got his strength back, pulled the columns down, and he killed more in that one day than he did his entire life. But he died also. The three Hebrew boys, when faced with the fire, said, "Who is that God that will deliver you out of my hand?" It's the king woofing their face. And they said, "King Nebi, listen. The God we serve can deliver us, and he will." Okay, that's what they said. "But even if he doesn't, we are not bowing down to your image. Period." And they threw them into the fire. Now, going in the fire, that could cause you to have a change of attitude. Especially when you're not the first one to go in, especially. Are you going to go cursing God? Obviously, they never wavered. Say, how do you know that? Because all three of them survived. And didn't even look like or smell like they'd been in the fire. See, the only thing that happened to them, the only thing that burned was whatever they were tied with. That's the only thing that loosed. Same, I guess that was the same power that was in the furnace that caused that earthquake. Okay. All it did was loose them and make them free. And they were inside praising with Jesus. Not even saying, they stayed in there until they were called out. I thought that was funny. You know, how many of us, the minute we're free and realize the fire can't affect us, we start climbing out? No, they stayed in there, fellowshipping with the Lord, until the same one that put them in said, "Come out." Okay. "Can we have 5 more minutes? I'm working on my tan." You know. But it's what they said, based on what they believed, that kept them. You can think about that. But we'll say things like, "I'm scared to death." Man, this thing just blew my mind. Or, "I'm tickled to death." That's just so funny. I just laughed till my stomach burst. I mean... See, they're funny things, but they're reckless words. I remember Pastor Clinton talking about a friend that he grew up with that, I mean, just it seemed like every time he'd get moved, something would always happen. And he said he found out after the person had died, relatively young, that his nickname was Jinx. And walk around saying, "Hey, Jinx." "Are you Jinx?" "Yep, that's me. I'm Jinx." Okay. So we need to be mindful about the nicknames we give our children and our grandchildren. I mean, nicknames. You need to look up that you know, cute name you think you're going to put on them and find out what it means. And God was very specific with names. He knew exactly what he was doing when he named someone. But we think, "Oh, that sounds cute." Yeah, but what's going to result from it is not going to be so cute, because you're speaking those things. And please, please, stop telling your children you're stupid. Stop telling them they're dumb. Stop telling them that, you know what, you're not going to count for anything. "I'm so tired of you. I don't know. I'll be glad when you're 18 and can get out of here." They'll grow up thinking, "Why do I have to wait till I'm 18? I'll start acting like I'm on my own now, because obviously you don't care about me." We need to think about that. We're making those statements out of frustration, but we forget who we are. we forget the fruit of our womb is blessed. We turn that into a lie. You're not going to amount to anything. We need to think about those things. Jesus said to us, and I took it as a clue. He said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So if I understand that, then I should be repeating the words that he speaks to me about everything, because then I will be speaking words that are filled with the Spirit and that are filled with life. God said, my words will not return to me void. They will accomplish everything I set them out to accomplish. That tells me that I need to find out what God said and say that, because I want that in my life. I mean, we have to do that. That sounds like work. It is work. Anything worth having is worth working for. But when I think about it, it's just so logical. Since we are people of faith and we believe what God said is true, we believe what Jesus said is true, why not act like it? Why not say what they say? Because if we say what they say, we'll have what they want us to have. In the same, we already talked about the mixed fruit tree. Okay? No such thing. In the same way, there should not be a believer speaking blessings and curses. There shouldn't. We should all, if we're a believer, we should be blessing. Period. Period. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to use in edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers. Another translation. Let no foul or polluting language, nor evil word, nor unwholesome or worthless talk ever come out of your mouth, but only such speech as is good and beneficial to the spiritual progress of others, as is fitting to the need and the occasion, that it may be a blessing and give grace, God's favor, to those who hear it. Don't let any foul words come out of your mouth. Only say what is helpful when it is needed for building up the community. The community. Stop talking about how rotten your community is. So that it, building up the community so that it benefits those who hear what you say. So people need to hear you blessing them. Lord bless them. I don't want them to know. I let them think I'm still angry at them. No, they need to hear, because if you're sincere about it, it doesn't matter who hears it, because this is what you mean. The Contemporary English Bible, stop all your dirty talk. That reminds me of a YouTube video Pastor and I were watching about Bob Newhart, where this person came in and was telling them all the things that were wrong with them. And when they finished, he said, okay, I can solve this in two words. See, I'll write it. No, you don't have to write it down. People remember it. It's only two words. Said, stop it! Said, I don't understand. Stop it! Okay. Stop all your dirty talk. Say the right thing at the right time and help others by what you say. Easy to read version. When you talk, don't say anything bad, but say the good things that people need, Whatever will help them grow stronger, then what you say will be a blessing to those who hear you. Expanded Bible. They grab your neighbor's hand, say, you can take this. Okay. All right. He said, don't say anything that will hurt others. Don't let any rotten, unhealthy word come from your mouth, but only say what is helpful, good to others, to make others stronger, build others up, and meet according to their needs. Then what you say will do good, give grace, and be a gift to those who listen to you. See, when you're building folks up, they will listen. Phillips, let there be no more foul language, but good words instead. Words suitable for the occasion, which God can use to help people. We want to release words that God can grab a hold of and cause them not to return void. But if they're not the right words, he's not grabbing hold of it. The Names of God translation. Don't say anything that would hurt another person. Instead, speak only what is good so that you can give help whenever you need it. New Life version. Just a couple more after this. Watch your talk. No bad words should be coming from your mouth. Say what is good. Your words should help others grow as Christians. Your words, my words, should help others grow as Christians. See, what if they're not? Exactly. Your words will help them become a Christian and then grow as a Christian. The New Life translation. Don't use foul or abusive language. You know, sometimes you can do more damage to someone the way you speak to them if you just slap them with brass knuckles. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. And lastly, the voice. Don't let one rotten word seep out of your mouths. Instead, offer only fresh words that build others up when they need it most. That way, your good words will communicate grace to those who hear them. Folks, God is very serious about the words that are released by his children. Every word that we speak should exemplify who we are. And it should ratify who we are. You need to think about that. I laugh when I think about it, you know, because I think about it, I guess jokingly, when I think about Peter, his belief was challenged. When they said, you know, do you know him? And he's denying Christ. And I find it amusing when one person said, I know you're one of them. You sound like them. And what did he do? He started cursing. He's like, oh, really? Well, one of Jesus' followers say this. And he just started calling down curses and all it because he didn't want people to know who he was, so he thought his speech could disguise him. Well, we do the same thing. We'll say things so that I used to say things so that folks would just be afraid and leave me alone. Because I didn't want them to know that really I was probably more afraid than they were. But I knew what to say and how to say it to change their mind. I can't tell you how hard it is to live your life like that. Because then you have to wonder, is someone going to find out? What's going to happen if they find out that a lot of this is smoke? Yeah, there's some substance there, but it's more smoke than substance. We have to be more responsible with our words. Speaking to each other, speaking about circumstances, even joking around. We have to be more responsible, folks, because death and life is in the power of the tongue. I'm done. Father, thank you. Thank you, Father, for showing us so simply yet another principle, another thing that's in the way of our foundation. And Lord, since you've exposed it, we now have the responsibility to dig it up and get it out of our lives. Father, we repent for the times we've used words recklessly. We repent for the times, Lord, that we've purposely used our words to hurt or harm. And Lord, we covenant with you that we're not going to do that anymore. And we ask the Holy Ghost that you prompt us, you let us know when we're about to cross that line. And we'll be obedient to stop and make the right connections, because we only want to release those words that are good and edifying and that will build up the hearer, and most of all, will demonstrate to everyone that we are indeed your children. Thank you for that, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.